course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I'm one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm not doing too bad. Excited to talk about the Toxic Avenger.
That's right. We are reviewing the original Toxic Avenger from 1984, and maybe just a little chit-chat about the franchise in general as we approach the release this week of the new Toxic Avenger, which we will be reviewing next episode. So we're taking a little trip to Tromaville, and I'm excited. I do love the Toxic Avenger. Hey, spoiler alert. But before we get there, Ike, did you watch anything else this week?
I went on a little bit of a binge of some true crime type stuff, which is a different kind of horror, but not much in terms of horror. I've been trying to catch up on a couple shows, and I will say that I want to do a real quick drop of there's a new season of the Ghost Adventure show. It's called House Calls, where the Ghost Adventures folks go to like people's houses who are requesting like assistance because of like a haunting. And they put out the first episode of season three, and man, that first episode was spooky as hell. There was some spooky shit going down there. I don't know what, but something spooky.
Never good when you have to have a house call.
Exactly.
So, what did I watch this week? Let's see. Did I watch anything? Well, I mean, I literally watched all three of the Toxic Avengers sequels in preparation for this. I got on a roll, and I did even watch a little bit of the Toxic Crusaders animated series, just a couple episodes. So, other than Toxic Avenger stuff, I didn't really watch anything. I didn't watch hardly anything at all, really, to be not horror or non-horror. So, all right, then. I guess that's a nice, quick, simple, as will the news, because we don't have a whole lot, but we do have a few things. So let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have our news, birthdays, and anniversaries. So stick around. Make sure you subscribe to Listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right, so like Dave said, we don't got a whole lot to talk about this week, but we got a couple things. I Know What You Did Last Summer and Together are both now available video on demand. Now, we did review I Know What You Did Last Summer a couple weeks ago, and Together we were supposed to review, but things got in the way. We had a couple of hiccups here and there, some tech issues, and, you know, like we talked about before, Dave moves, so we weren't able to watch that, so maybe we'll at some point watch it when it comes to a streaming service and maybe have a little conversation about it. But if you want to catch those, you can purchase them or rent them on video on demand.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to watching both of them. I think I'd like to watch I Know What You Did Last Summer again. Favorable reviews from us. I thought it was very good. Together, I was super excited about it. This really sounds interesting, you know, a little bit of body horror, and just the trailers, just some of that. It kind of made me cringe just that little bit. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing that. So can't wait to see them both.
Very good. But all right, now we have a couple of upcoming birthdays and anniversaries. So we'll roll through the birthdays first. First things first, August 29th, 1939, William Friedkin, the director of The Exorcist. William Friedkin did a couple of other things, of course, in his career, but I think The Exorcist is definitely his most noteworthy horror contribution. And then we actually lost William back in 2023, unfortunately. Actually, the beginning of August 7th. So, rest in peace to him, of course.
He also did the what was it? French? I don't know what it is. French Mistakes, French Connection. I'm
Yeah, it
not.
was the French Connection.
There you go. I'm not real versed in that non-horror or non. Let's just put it, non-shitty ass movies. If it's not sci, if it's not a genre movie, I pretty much don't know what it is. But that is a big movie. I think it was an Academy Award winning movie. So, I'm pretty sure we talked about that. Last year when we brought up his birthday, that I mean, just having those two movies on your resume, that's a damn career right there. And he did other films too, of course, but The Exorcist still a very impactful movie to this day. It's still, I mean, good God, how many exorcism movies have we gotten? And that tried to be The Exorcist. I mean, it's still happening all the time. So much that we've gotten confused on what's what. And it's like, wait a minute, Russell Crowe's not in this one, and it's just it's, but yeah, he set the bar for those kind of films.
Absolutely. But very good. Happy birthday to him. And of course, in memoriam to William Friedkin. But our other birthday is another, I would say, pioneer of the horror genre. August 30th of 1797, so even before the 1800s, Mary Shelley, the author of Frankenstein. I would venture to guess, with just off the rip, knowing the handful of horror authors that came after Mary Shelley. Like your Edgar Allan Poe's and H.P. Lovecraft's, Mary Shelley was likely the progenitor of most of what we know as horror, if not one of the first pioneers. Obviously, there are macabre and dark writings that date back, centuries, but in terms of modern literature and modern impacts, I think that Mary Shelley has it topped.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know if anybody's ever has a book ever had so many adaptations as Frankenstein. I mean, there's obviously just this slew of direct adaptations, but just then take into account all the movies that are just like, Frankenstein inspired, right? Because that whole Frankenstein, the creator monster thing, that has inspired in so many things over the years. And then couple it with the fact that we're talking, right at 1800, this is a female writing this book. I mean, that's extraordinary. It is super extraordinary. A fabulous book. I love the character of the Frankenstein monster. I love that human playing God. I love everything conceptually about it. And it's just marvelous. It's literally one of the best pieces of just literature in general, not just horror, just in general. I mean, you don't even have to break it down. This is one of the best books written. And again, I don't know that there's not been, if there's ever been a book more influential to everything. I mean, there's been so, it has infused so much in pop culture, so many movies, so many of this and that, and TV shows, and it's just everywhere, right? I mean, the Frankenstein monster is, it's just, I mean, it's just, everybody knows what that is.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It is a trope that has persisted the test of time, if you will. Like you said, it's still something that we see even to this day in film. So, Mary Shelley is a pioneer of many things. But yes, like you said, especially for that time, being a female in any sort of writing capacity, it is insane.
In any capacity, let's just put it, I mean, writing or not, just to be a female and doing anything
Yes,
is,
especially in the late 1700s.
yeah, I mean, come on, hats off on so many levels.
Absolutely. So we obviously wish her a happy birthday and of course a big in memoriam and the huge legacy that has been fulfilled many, many times, and it's fantastic.
And a very
Amazing.
heartfelt thank you for
Yes.
this, the un incredible.
Without Mary Shelley, we would likely not have most of what we have now as horror. So, put that into perspective for you.
Dave would be a different beast.
That's right. Would not have his Frankenstein to love. Very good. But moving now to our upcoming movie anniversaries, we have a few to roll through. August 29, 2003, Jeepers Creepers 2. This one's all right. Jeepers Creepers 1 and 2 are pretty good. I think 3 and beyond gets a little squirrely, but the second movie is really good. You have good old Justin Long up in there, and I think he has more of a cameo appearance in the second one versus the first one. But, I love Jeepers Creepers 1 and 2. 2 is pretty decent, though.
Yeah, I agree. The first one's spectacular. The second one's pretty good. The others, who knows? But, I think the first two are pretty strong. I mean, but, it's still a good movie. And like you said, anytime you hear that song, man, that's such an innocent little whatever 50s song. And it now just brings in these totally dark thoughts into my head.
Right. And I have watched the other Jeepers Creepers movies. The third one was marginally okay. It was from 2017. But then Jeepers Creepers 4, which is called Jeepers Creepers Reborn from 2022, absolute horseshit. I mean, just it is beyond terrible. Like, it, you know, and there's a lot of problematic stuff to talk about with, like, the original director or producer. I can't remember which one. He's not a very good person either. But goddamn, it is hard to justify those third and fourth movies, even despite all of that. Like, I do think that, like, if somebody got the rights to Jeepers Creepers and did a complete reboot remake of the Jeepers Creepers franchise, it could do well. But you need to put it in the hands of somebody who is capable of making a monster movie. And I don't know if I'd want to put it on his plate right now because he's got a lot going on. But I think Zach Krieger can make a really good Jeepers Creepers movie. Barbarian, I think at its core, is kind of a creature flick. But I think beyond, like, Zach Krieger, you could put it in the hands of, like, Blumhouse, A24, Neon. I think any of these production studios could do it justice. But, yeah, I think that Jeepers Creepers is long overdue for a remake, especially with the absolute shit show that the other two movies are.
Yeah, it'd be a fun one to try to do with the requel type thing, right? Where you don't ignore what's there, but kind of revamp and bring it. The character's great. The truck is great. The concept is great. And of course you got to have a Justin Long cameo appearance of some sort in there. But I don't know. Did he die? I don't remember. Did he die? I can't remember. It's been so long since I've watched those movies.
Yeah. So spoiler for people who have not watched these movies that are over 20 years old, but yes, Justin Long's character dies in the first one. The creeper takes him and uses his eyes, I think.
That's what I thought after I said that. So, well, fuck Justin Long. He can't be in it unless it's a flashback or something, I guess. But yeah, I think it definitely needs something done. And it makes you wonder, what's the deal with that, right? Is there a rights issue? Why is nothing? I don't know. It's weird.
If I remember correctly, because weirdly enough, I watched something about this not too long ago. I believe the person who owns, I think the guy who made the first two movies has the rights. I think either that or he has a stake in the company that does own the rights or something like that. But, like, he's, like, in jail and stuff. So, like, or he was in jail for some, like, pretty indecent shit, and I think that his estate or something like that, like, was holding on to the rights for some reason. I don't know the whole story. I just know that there is some sort of issue with the rights. It's a fellow named Victor Salva, and yeah, I think he's,
if there's some indecent stuff, that probably explains it all, right? I mean, it's no one's gonna touch that property, and that's sad.
100%. That's exactly right.
Multiple levels, not just the horror. I want to see the movie. Sad. It's just sad. But whatever. Okay, let's move on.
But very good. Moving on to another movie anniversary, August 30th, 1972, Last House on the Left. This is, of course, the original Last House on the Left. This movie was, of course, remade in the 2000s.
Wes Craven.
Yep, this is one of Wes Craven's, one of his early projects. I don't know if it's his first, but it's a very early project.
I think it's one of, it's up there. It's good shit, though. It's a good movie.
Yeah, I've not seen it in a long while,
Yeah, me too.
but yeah, I do think that that is his first directorial debut was Last House on the Left was his first. So.
What a genius, man. Just unreal. The stuff that he God, the stuff that he had a hand in is just unbelievable.
It truly is. I mean, he did quite a bit, quite a bit,
I mean,
and.
most people that just had one franchise, one iconic franchise or movie, they're good. But I mean, Last House on the Left is a pretty iconic movie for the most part. It's a pretty big movie, right? And then that's not to mention, all the other shit, I'm just shooting blanks on everything here. It's been a day. The nightmare shit, the scream shit, whatever. I mean, fuck, that's and there's other, other whatever you want to call it, one-off Wes Craven stuff. It's just unbelievable the shit he did.
No, absolutely.
What a mess.
And also, I mean, Last House on the Left in 1972 was sort of a pioneer of the exploitation film genre, and just the general like. I mean that kind of I think yeah I think that would be the best way to say it would be the exploitation and sort of revenge driven horror type genre of that time. You had a few other people who were doing stuff similar, but no one quite to the level of like what the American directors were doing at the time. Things like I Spit on Your Grave, Last House on the Left, and stuff like that. Now the remakes of these movies I think are not done properly. Like I'm not I hate the I Spit on Your Grave remake. I hate the Last House on the Left remake. But the originals I think dial in more on the exploitation than just the pure vulgarity of it, which is a very lost art, I think, in that genre.
Agreed.
But very good. It's just be a good time for people to go out and rewatch that. It's
Sure.
about this we're man, how long ago was that? It'd be 28 plus 25, so that's 45 plus 8, which is 53 years old. Jesus Christ. Man.
Long time ago.
Yeah. Well, good stuff. Anniversary for Last House on the Left. And now moving to August 30th, 1991. We have one of Dave's favorite Child's Play movies, Child's Play 3. No, I kid. This one's a decent. I like Child's Play 3. I know it's not everyone's favorite. It's a little less funky than some of the other projects, like Bride of Chucky, Spawn of Chucky, or whatever the fuck, Kid of Chucky. But yeah, the third movie was interesting.
Yeah, what was that? Was that Andy going to the military school?
Sure was.
it was something. It was different. I don't hate it, man. I don't, you know, I you know, some of the there's a couple Child's Play movies that are, I won't say rough viewing, but they're a little harder for me to view. Three's not one of them. It's got its thing. It's all right. I
It's
mean,
all right.
I'm trying to be nice. It's not one.
No.
One's a classic. Two, I think two's fairly solid. I give them props for trying something. And I don't know. I think it worked okay. I mean,
Yeah.
the franchise kept going, so.
Yeah, clearly it didn't stop them, but I think the big thing is Child's Play 3 came out a year after Child's Play 2. And they had to recast Alex Vincent, who played Andy Barkley, because they wanted to do an older Andy Barkley. So they cast Justin Weiland to be him, who, he was kind of big at the time in the 90s. He had a lot of, kid roles and stuff like that. But they had to age him up, and I think that hurt them in this case because. Had they either just taken a branch away from Andy Barkley, I think it would have been better. Like a different character, follow somebody else. But they had to do this basically aged up version of him, and they had to recast him, which I think didn't sit well with Child's Play fans from the time, and I think it still doesn't sit well with Child's Play fans to some degree.
But I mean, the one thing Child's, like we said before, I will give Child's Play props for always being relevant, always being out there. There's never been, say what you want about it, whether you like it or you don't, and or where it ranks, as far as characters and movies. Of all the iconic franchises, Child's Play has never been out of the public eye. It's always been there in some capacity, right? There's either been a for good or bad or what, there's been a movie, a TV show, something going on. Obviously, right now it's kind of in limbo. We don't know what's happening, but it's never had the lull of the a Halloween or a Nightmare or a Friday the 13th. It's never more than a few years, and they've never been afraid to take chances and do some things, and some things work, some things work better, some things don't work. So it's whatever. It's it's definitely an iconic franchise. I don't hate anything within it per se with a passion, but I obviously have my favorites. But I think if I'm looking at the franchise overall, three still ranks probably that upper half, because I don't know, some of the laters just don't sit well with me.
No, absolutely. And like you said, they're a little weirdness, but still maintains relevance to this day. So I gotta give him props.
Yeah, and even the stuff I don't like, though, it's like there's parts I like, right? Some of those movies I don't care as much for, but it's like, hell, I love Jennifer Tilly, though, and her parts in some of those movies. And it's like I love some of the stuff they introduce, but maybe over it's such a peculiar franchise. It really is. It's like they've really got the what do you want to call it? The it's they're really establishing how a horror franchise could stay out there, right? Try stuff, do stuff. You and I have talked many times about fucking do a show. Right, do a series. That's the thing right now, right? And now you're seeing Friday the 13th dip into it and this and that. Well, hell, I mean, Child's Play with the Chucky series did it before anybody was talking about it. And it's like they're not afraid to be on the cusp. And I think a lot of that falls on the fact that the ownership, the creative license falls onto whatever, Mancini and what whoever. Who gets to make the call? There's not a lot of irons in that fire. And that some of the other franchises are subject to. So I don't know. Hate them or love them or whatever. They're always there. They're always giving us shit. And they got to be praised for that.
Absolutely. Gotta give them credit where credit is due. No matter what, they
I don't
always
know.
got that
I
legacy.
don't know what that has to do with Andy going to military school. A little bit of a tangent. Every time Child's Play comes up, though, it's just I love the character Chucky, right? And I love the first Child's Play, but I always marvel at how they stay relevant. It's such an exercise in what franchises should do. You're not going to win them all, but fucking stay relevant. And if you lose, or you fail, just step up and do something else. Keep at it. And they're completely a demonstration of that. And I mean, God, I mean, is there anybody that's more merchandise than Chucky? I mean, come on, he's everywhere.
I was going to say, you would be hard pressed to find another character that is quite milked the way that Chucky is milked and Child's Play is milked, because like he's got characters in like Dead by Daylight.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's in Fortnite. He was in Call of Duty. That's his video games. You have all of his movies. You have all of his merchandising, comic books and stuff like that. So truly, I think Chucky is potentially saving the record for most milked horror character of all time.
Yeah, I mean, but you know what? That's what horror is, right? Horror fans want that stuff, right? They want to see those characters in those games. They want to see that merchandise. They want all of that. And I mean, even if you're not the biggest Child's Play fan, if you're a horror fan, you're eating that stuff up because Chucky's everywhere. And you're still saying, "Yeah, that's my character." Because fuck it, maybe in whatever in this realm or this whatever, maybe I can't get Jason, maybe I can't get Michael Myers, so I'll take Chucky. That's my guy. I mean, whatever, man. I mean, mad props. They're cashing out, and I don't. I mean, it's horror, man. It's not selling out to me because fucking it's a goddamn possessed doll. There's no believability from the get go. So, you know, I don't know. They grasp what horror is. That fun. That let's just try shit and have fun and do things. And I don't know. And I know the Chucky series is under, but God damn, that series was so good.
Yeah. I was going to say, I know that there's a lot of, because they didn't renew it for another season. Right. I don't know if they're just never going to renew it or if it was just like a temporary, like, we're not sure what we're doing with this project.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I think it's done. I mean, Mancini said, hey, maybe it's time to explore a movie option, right? He's even said that, hey, I have an ideal that would work to send Chucky to space. And he's dead serious about this shit. And the thing is, it's like you hear it and you're like, okay, yeah, I can see how they're coming up with the concept to send Chucky to space. They put him in the White House with the series and it worked. It's like he doesn't care. He's like, whatever, man. It's a possessed doll. I'll do whatever I want. And he's a creative guy. And the people that work with him are creative. And I don't know. I think they have more hits than misses in the overall scheme. But it's, you know, I'm a baseball guy, man. You gotta swing at the pitches to hit the home run. And if you're not swinging, you're not going to do it. So you know what? Sometimes you're going to strike out. Sometimes you're going to hit it, you know, hit it out of the park. So you got to take that chance, and they're not afraid to take the chances. And more often than not, I'm a big fan of Child's Play, the franchise. I really am overall. I love what they do. So I know for a movie anniversary, we have really talked a lot. So I feel like we always do that with Child's Play.
Yeah, we always get out off on a tangent on Child's Play or some horror movie. It's usually Child's Play or Scream, but
that's but, okay. Yeah. Let's move on. I guess we're revisiting something we already spoke of, but go ahead.
We are. So weirdly enough, the other movie anniversary is August 31st of 2001, which is the first Jeepers Creepers. So you have August 31st, 2001, with Jeepers Creepers, and then August 29th, 2003, 2 years later, Jeepers Creepers 2. First Jeepers Creepers is by and large the better of the two films. Jeepers Creepers 2 is a worthy sequel, but you know how sequels are.
Yeah. Jeepers Creepers is a fun film, great film. But you know what? We talked about Jeepers Creepers. We talked about whatever's going on. And apparently, it is what it is. So so be it. This is a good film. I guess enjoy it because maybe we won't ever get anything else. Who knows?
Exactly. Probably won't, but...
That's okay because you know what? I like Jeepers Creepers, but it's not like it's one of those things that I'm just starved for more. Whatever. So be it.
Right. Oh, well, we'll see what happens maybe one day. But for now... We got our upcoming release. So for this week, we are, of course, talking about the OG Toxic Avenger. But this weekend, August 29th, coming to theaters is The Toxic Avenger, the remake. This film will star Peter Dinklage, Kevin Bacon, Jacob Tremblay, and others. It is described as a horrible toxic accident transforms downtrodden janitor Winston Goose into a new evolution of hero, The Toxic Avenger. And we will, of course, be reviewing this movie next episode, God willing.
I'm super excited, man, because we'll talk about it in a minute, right? I love The Toxic Avenger. It's a fun thing. I love goofy horror. But then when you take that goofy horror, I mean, come on, you're putting Peter who if you'd asked me in the 80s or the 90s, hey, man, someday Kevin Bacon's going to be in a Toxic Avenger movie. I've been like, fuck off. You're an idiot. That would have never happened, right? But yet here we are. Kevin, I love Kevin Bacon. But to think that we're getting a Toxic Avenger with the likes of Peter Dinklage and Kevin Bacon is just unreal to me. To think that we are in 2025 and we're even talking about the Toxic Avenger, that we are even talking that this is a movie which was dead. This movie was not getting released. This movie's been done for a while.
Yeah.
And it was not getting released, but yet it couldn't be stopped. And here it is. And not only here it is, this is a fucking big release. This is getting a popcorn bucket at whatever, I think it's AMC's or whatever, right? A barrel. This is huge. This is poised to be the summer surprise breakout. People are calling this, hey, if you're a Terrifier kind of guy, you like that kind of stuff, and you're eagerly anticipating the Terrifier 4, this is your movie to hold you over. Right? This is going to be that movie that comes, right, that couldn't be stopped and is going to fucking just blow everybody away. I hope they're right. Right? All the reviews are saying this movie is fucking fun. And again, we're going to talk about the original. I'm going to speak on the sequels a little bit and this and that and the franchise as a whole. But I cannot wait for this. I'm so excited, and never would have thought that in 2025 we'd be talking so much about the Toxic Avenger. It blows my mind.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, and you kind of mentioned it, but the film was originally made in 2023.
Yeah.
It basically sat on a shelf for years. I mean, the movie was completely done. It had an original release date of sometime in 2023. I think it was like end of the year or something like that.
For all and, purposes, this should have been Batgirl. This should have been just shelved and not to be seen.
Which, that's wild to me, too.
I'm not
going to start on Batgirl.
Don't fucking get me started. On why, it's like, fuck, if you're not going to, oh my God. If you're not going to put it in a fucking theater, put it in your fucking streaming service. Why? Fuck, oh. But of course, you're talking about a movie with fucking Michael Keaton as Batman, and my ass can't see it. Fuck you. I'm pissed about Batgirl.
And what makes it worse, it was done for a tax write-off because they didn't want to spend the money on putting it out. And rather than just, like you said, putting it on HBO Max, which is quite literally DC's streaming platform,
yep,
they shelved it because fuck it, why not? And that's what pisses me off about it.
And you know what? I have no doubt someday we'll see it. Someday we'll see it. But how long do we have to wait? And it's like, in a time period where everybody's looking for content, come on. I mean, they had the chance. I know this is sidetracking, but they had the chance, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, to beat everybody to the punch with showing Michael Keaton as Batman. Did this movie predate Flash?
I don't think it did. I thought that this movie was supposed to take place after Flash.
Okay, anyway. And that, you know, I don't give a shit if it fits into your creative plans. I don't give a shit if you're going a different direction. That's fine. That's cool. Do what you want. Just put it out there. Just put it on your streaming service. I mean, for fuck's sake, you've already made the movie. Anyway, we're not talking about Batgirl, I guess. Ooh, I get worked up about that. But this movie could have been that. Should have been that. It was that for all intents and purposes. I don't know what saved it. I don't know what it was. I don't know. I don't know what shifted the line of thinking. Maybe the fans. I don't know. I hope it's the fans.
Yeah.
But whatever the case may be, here we are. And I'm glad. Right, man, I'd be pissed off again the same way if I couldn't have seen this movie. And, you know, even on streaming service, but I'm super glad that I get to see it in a theater. That's even better, because we're talking some, you know, melt whore, body whore type shit. You know, we're talking some toxic waste and this and that. Man, that needs to be seen on the big screen. And, you know what? We're reviewing this next episode. Is this going to be a four? No. We know it's not. We know going into it, it's probably not going to be that. But who knows? Maybe, I guess. I don't know. But it's going to be fun. I don't give a shit about anything else. This movie's going to be fun. And this is, and you know what? Horror's great. Horror's, to me, is in a really good place now. But it is missing some of those movies that are just fun, that that aren't trying to be super elevated in this. And I'm not trying to hit trigger words, but just movies that are just fun horror, right? Just a good time, just some blood and fuck them up. That's what Terrifier. Why Terrifier is a hit to me. It's fucking. It's just blood and gore, and it's just you don't have to overthink it. And I know. Here I am. I'm rambling again about it. I like the Toxic Avenger, and I'm super glad that we're getting this movie finally. And it boggles my mind that we almost didn't. It's just so I don't get it.
Yeah, it's always the same stuff. They pick up a property, they make the movie, and then something happens. Either it's a rights issue, or maybe they just don't want to spend the money on it. But somehow, some way, someone somewhere got this movie off the shelf into theaters 2 years a little late, but that's okay. We'll take it. But yeah, we'll have to see. We'll have to wait until next weekend and or not next week, next week, and kind of see where we land on this, because I'm very, very excited. I'm excited to see how they could potentially improve upon the original. So, I'm
I'm
excited.
so interested to see the box office, because this is a movie, right, that gets this has a movie I think that has the potential to be one of the biggest movies of the summer. It's so weird. It's just surreal. And I'm curious to see how this does in the box office, because I it feels big, and it feels like it should be big. But we won't know, right? Who will they turn out? I don't, we'll see. There's been some big horror movies this year. Where will this land? There's a lot of interesting things about this movie. There's, right? It's a fun movie. It'll be fun to watch. But how fun, right? Will it be creative? Will it be, will it be respectful of the past, right? And then how's the box office going to do? Will they get to fucking flip off those people that wanted to shelve it and say, look at this shit? It's just there's so many headlines and stories around this movie. It's so intriguing. It's exciting.
Absolutely. So we will have that official review next week, guys. But until then, we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about the OG, the original gangster, the original ooze, the Toxic Avenger from 1986. So stick around.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today, with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod. All right, we're back here, and it is it's review time, and we're reviewing a classic. And I say it, I call it a classic. It is The Toxic Avenger, written by Lloyd Kaufman, the guru of trauma films. Gay Terry and Joe Ritter, directed by Lloyd Kaufman and Michael Herz, starring Mitch Cohen, Sidney Mannion, Jennifer Baptiste, and others. Released on August 4th, 1986, and only 45 screens. But it did earn $140,000 on opening weekend. I don't think that's bad for 45 screens in 1986. And while we're talking Toxic Avenger, right? The first movie was a classic, was a bit of a hit, and it did spawn many other movies, right? Other Toxic Avenger releases. In 1989, The Toxic Avenger Part 2. And also in 1989, The Toxic Avenger Part 3, The Last Temptation of Toxie. Now, Part 2 and Part 3 were filmed together. They were filmed at the same time. They realized they had too much footage, too much stuff. That's why they were split into two movies and done this way. And then in 1991, there was an animated series called The Toxic Crusaders, still blows my mind that the Toxic Avenger spawned an animated series, but it was the 90s. And then in 2000, and this is a this was not Troma Films directly, I don't believe. I think this was an independent person licensing the property with Troma Films' blessing, because Lloyd Kaufman does have a cameo in the film. It was Citizen Toxie, the Toxic Avenger 4. This movie blows my mind when I watched it. I've never seen this movie until I just watched it, because it has fucking Lemmy from Motorhead in it, and he's in it several times, and it's just funny, him in it. It's not a good movie, trust me, but it's funny that he's in it. And then, of course, in here coming up this week, as this is being recorded, we do have the reboot of the Toxic Avenger coming out. That's quite a play, right? Troma Films are still out there, still making this same kind of wacky ass shit. Lloyd Kaufman is still out there doing wacky ass stuff. If you've never seen a Troma film, whether it be Toxic Avenger or anything else, if you see it, you can bet you're going to see a few things, right? You're going to see some weird ass kind of crude humor, right? They don't care. They're going to joke about everything. Some of these movies, right? Some of the language, some of the jokes are dated for the time. When I watched them from the first one all the way through, there were things that were said that made me cringe, right? Words that were used that made me cringe to my 25 years. It's like, oh, I cannot believe that people joked about that at that time. But they did, and I'm not saying that's a good thing, but it existed. And plus, in a Troma film, you're going to see lots of topless women. And that is in all the films. And it's not going to make a whole hell of a lot of sense. It's just meant to be just wacky ass fun. And I think with the Toxic Avenger, the first one, I think they made that prototype to perfection. I love the first one. The first one is just so good. It's wacky. It's weird. It doesn't make a damn bit of sense, but that's okay. It's goofy. Yes, there are, again, some dated things that make you cringe in it. It's hard to digest some of that, hard to accept some of the language, some of the words used and whatever. You obviously always wish that wasn't there, but it is what it is. But if you watch through the series at all, each movie gets progressively worse. Two's not as good as one, three's not as good as two, so on and so forth. The anime series is fun. It's kind of a side thing, right? Made for kids, but it does have a lot of inspiration. The 2000 Toxic Avenger 4 is probably the crudest of all of them. It's something. But as far as the first movie, man, I love that cheesy ass, goofy horror. And this ranks right there with it, right? This is the same reasoning that I like Nightmare on Elm Street, Dream Warriors. This is the same reasoning that I like Jason Takes Manhattan in the Friday the 13th series. This is that same kind of weird-ass, goofy vibe that I like is the reason I like the original Toxic Avenger. It's fun. It's got kills. It's got blood. It's got gore. Don't overthink it. Because if you overthink it, you're going to drive yourself mad. But it's a fun movie, but I'm curious, rewatching them all, on what they'll pull from for the remake. Right? Will it be how? Because I'm seeing these pictures and descriptions of what some of these, you know, Elijah Wood's playing, Kevin Bacon's playing, and I'm like, oh, I don't know who those, you know, who are these characters. So I don't think this is going to be a direct reboot or direct remake. But it's going to definitely be inspired by. So I wonder if it'll pull from different movies. I mean, it'll probably lean mostly on the first one, I would bet. But so maybe just makes me more curious to see this reboot. But I love the first one. I think it's fun. Definitely a slice of the time, and it's just goofy ass horror fun. It's the that I know it had a limited theatrical release, but this is a video store fun ass movie that you would have rented to watch on a Friday night. So, Ike, what do you think about the 80s Toxic Avenger?
Man, oh man, oh man. That was a wild ride. So I guess first things first, the original Toxic Avenger, I had never seen before. So this was my first time ever having seen the original Toxic Avenger. I think the first thing that I really noticed about this is that it is, by and large, I would say it plays into like 99.99% of like B-movie tropes. You know, cheaply done, very over-exaggerated acting and over the top performances, very gruesome deaths, a lot of creative deaths, a lot of nudity. It was a very unique film, to say the least. Now, when I watched it all the way, like, you know, there was a part where, you know, in the original one, like they're like at a Taco Bell or something like that. And like they like kill a dog, like it's a seeing eye dog.
Oh,
I didn't like that.
No,
I hated that. But at the same time, I you know, they're trying to really make you hate these guys, like in an over the top way. But you know, overall though, it was a very fun and just stupid movie. Like this is to me perhaps the pinnacle of like stupid horror movie. You know, and in so many ways, this movie I feel like. Really, I mean, it affected other movies of the time, you know, and there's other movies that are like it. There are often, you know, attempts at replicating something like this. So, but I can definitely say that I've never seen a movie like The Toxic Avenger. One of the things that I wanted to highlight is I really thought that the gore and the killing and the effects were actually really well done. For a B-rated movie, from a movie from the 80s especially, a lot of these deaths and sort of the effects that were surrounding them were really great. Definitely ingenuitive, and they looked real. There was one specifically where they're in the gym and he drops like a weight stack on someone's head.
Oh yeah.
And like, I mean, that's a pretty, very brutal scene just in general. But that part specifically, I remember watching, and I was like, damn, that looked really realistic. But yeah, it definitely, this is one of those movies that you got to watch, and you have to watch it with not only the lens that this was made in the 80s, but that this is not meant to be a award-winning like movie. This is not meant to even be a good movie, potentially. This is meant to play up on the 80s, the B-movie trends of the 80s, the tropes of the 80s, and it's to wrap it all into one package and to be the Toxic Avenger, so... I don't foresee this being anybody's like favorite movie of all time. Hey, maybe there are. Maybe there are some Toxic Avenger lovers out there who think this is the best movie ever made. But I would venture to guess this is one of those movies that people watch as like, oh yeah, I used to love that movie back in the 80s. Let me rewatch it. But yeah, I think you said it very well. This is definitely like one of those straight to VHS type movies that you'd pick up at the video store or, yeah, something like that, because it was cheesy, it was goofy, and it was just something else.
Yeah, and trust me, Troma Films, if you follow their social media, they're not trying to be taken seriously. They know what they are. They know they're B-movie, and they pride themselves on doing that. That's what they find interesting and funny. And, you know, they're all about... You know, the wacky and the boobs and blood. That's what they do, even to this day, with their movies. So, you know, I think it's weird because it'll be this new one should be, it will be different, right? I won't, to some degree, it's like, it's a hard concept to think, how do you make a Toxic Avenger now, right? You know, there's still going to be the blood and the goofiness, whatever, but there's obviously going to be some things different. So it'll be curious to see how it's done. So, but again, it's a fun movie. You know, I mean, we can rate it if we want. Again, this is an old movie. Not worrying about spoilers and whatnot. I mean, again, this is, there's been a whatever, millions of thousands of whatever weird, goofy B horror movies. But the Toxic Avenger might be the pinnacle, the what they're all striving to do. But it is what it is. I think if I were going to rate it, I'd probably just give it that standard three. I mean, I really like the Toxic Avenger, but I don't think it's doing anything that new and whatever else. But it is a fun movie, so if I had to rate it, it'd probably just be a 3 out of 5. What about you?
Yeah, I would give the Toxic Avenger just kind of like that standard 3 out of 5. It was an enjoyable movie to watch. I would probably go back and rewatch this at some juncture, but it's definitely one of those, like, it's not going to win any awards. It's not going to win any certifications of amazingness at any juncture. No one's going to send this film off to the Cannes to get a any sort of anything, but. This is one of those movies that you watch with the mindset and through the lens of, I want to watch a shitty horror movie and I want to watch something that's kind of has that nostalgia of the 80s, and that's the perfect way to watch this movie. But I will say, I could see where Street Trash was influenced heavily by this movie, like significantly. I this isn't quite to the level of Street Trash and like that level of melt. But Toxic Avenger fits into that mold a little bit.
Absolutely. So again, next episode we will be reviewing the reboot of Toxic Avenger, and it will be curious to see how they do that with the 2020 lenses. I'm curious to see, and how they, now that I've watched the entire franchise, right? Some of them rewatches, some of them first time watches, to see what they pull from and how they do it, and I'm looking forward to it. I want to see what they do, and I'm expecting good things. I'm expecting to enjoy it, and hopefully they keep that spirit of, not taking yourself too seriously. Otherwise, it just doesn't work as a Toxic Avenger movie. It really doesn't. So, I'm excited to review that next episode and to see it and to see it in a theater. So, but as we wrap down this episode, thank you to our wives, the listeners and the followers, for your support. Now, coming up, let's talk this through. Coming up, there is an episode where you will be most definitely out of town, correct?
Yes, I will certainly be out of town here in a couple of weeks, the week of do be the 15th through the 19th. I'm going on a cruise for my 30th birthday.
That's right, mid-September. Ike will be missing in action. Well, he'll be in action, just different action.
That's right.
On a cruise ship, lots of umbrella drinks and flowered shirts. And during that time, I don't know what we're reviewing, right? At that time, we'll have to look at it. But we've been exploring our options, and it looks like Ike, if I'm, you correct me if I'm wrong, but from our discussions, it looks like the best option is that maybe Monica's gonna pinch hit and come off the bench
Oh man.
for an episode. And oh, may the power of Christ compel me. It's gonna be something. And we'll see what movie, what the look of the draw is gonna be some wet, weird ass movie too. I swear, it's gonna be a trip. So we'll see how that works. So yeah, while you're out, partying in international waters, I will be apparently recording an episode with Monica. So, but that's coming up mid-September. We got a couple weeks till that. More on that to come in the next week or two. So, just make sure you subscribe to us on social media. We're on all the platforms. Just look for Listen to Screams, listen the number two in Screams, or just listen to their Screams, and you'll find us. And that will keep you completely current on what we're doing. What we're going to be reviewing, all these situational type things. Plus, that's where you can see all of the news and anniversaries that we talk about and more. There are other things that we share on there that we don't talk about necessarily on here, and everything else. So we like to think that we're a pretty good follow. We stay active currently, lots of daily posts. So we think we're a pretty good follow. So check us out on all the social media platforms. So before we get out of here, Ike, anything you want to add?
Oh, man. Nothing too crazy. I'm saying that nothing's really happened all that much since we recorded last. I mean, just the same old. Nothing crazy is coming up either. We're going to watch the Toxic Avenger. But I think the next movie we'll be after that's the Conjuring movie, if I recall correctly. Maybe. I don't remember. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I'm excited for that. I rewatched all the Conjuring movies, which I did a little bit ago, so I'm ready.
Yeah, Conjuring Last Rites. I don't remember when that comes. It is. Yeah, it is soon. So you might be right. But we're hitting the fall. There's lots of things coming out in the fall. We have the new Conjuring. The I believe what Black Phone 2 comes out in the fall at some point. And what else? There was a couple other. I can't remember off the top of my head. But I think we have a pretty packed fall. Some good stuff coming up. Again, another good reason to follow us on social media to know what we're doing. And it's a perfect reason to subscribe to us because we'll be reviewing all these movies and talking about all these movies and everything else. And I guess just for context sake, you know, hey, Ike and I are in the same vicinity now. So there's a lot more, whatever, I don't know how I want to put it, right? Real time stuff that may happen. And, you know, attending movies at the same time and going to conventions and events at the same time. Ike will be, as part of his trip, will be visiting. I guess we should discuss this, right? You are planning to visit Halloween Horror, what do they call it? Down in Orlando.
Yeah, what's it called again? Halloween Horror Nights.
That's right. And and I will task Isaac to Ike to give us to be our, you know, I know he's on vacation. I know he's celebrating his birthday. But I will task him with being kind of our roving reporter and sending us pictures and videos and giving us some firsthand accounts as he visits those. And what's ironically or unironically, whatever you want to say, a very cool with the first year that Terrifier will be a part of that. Pretty exciting. Not to mention that I fully intend to send some money with Ike to grab me some souvenirs. Have you been seeing the stuff? I mean, there's like already like a cloud cafe food cart that's going to be there. Oh, it's just so cool. The stuff that's going to be there.
I was going to say, I've seen some of the stuff that they're going to have there. Excuse me. I've seen some of the stuff that like they're going to be selling like merchandise wise. So they've got some cool shit. And I will say something I recently learned because I've been trying to keep some information out for it. Like you said, this first year Terrifier has ever been a part of anything like that. And they have a house, and apparently there's going to be a part of the house where Art the Clown is writing on the wall and feces. And Halloween Horror Nights is infamous for using smells. So they've already said that room's going to smell like shit.
I bet.
A lot of the
That's awesome.
they had a preview night for Halloween Horror Nights, I think last night or the night before or something. And a lot of people are saying that it's pretty rough. So I'll keep you guys informed on how that is.
I love it that they got like the Clown Cafe right thing that looks like that out of that movie. I like that the Art the Clown thing is like the Terrifier, right? Like that portion of that circus, that theme park thing that was in the movie. I love it's very movie accurate from what we've seen so far. And it's pretty cool. It makes me want to make that drive and do it. So, my point being, it's another perfect reason to follow us on social media because Ike will be reporting in firsthand from experiencing all that. And he will be sending pictures and videos and reports on what he sees and experiences. Apparently, sights, you know, sounds, and apparently smells and everything else. So we will have a. Ike might be, you know, I know it's supposed to be your vacation, but man on the streets, roving reporter, giving us a firsthand account of Halloween Horror Nights. So we will have that. And Ike in the past has talked about Pensacon and everything else. This coming whatever, winter, spring, whatever, will be the first chance that the opportunity arises for Ike and I to attend that together and things like that. So lots of stuff like that happening. we're within a simple drive to New Orleans, right? Lots of cool things in New Orleans that we can experience. So my whole point being, everybody knows about my recent move. It has caused some disruption in our schedule, and I apologize for all that. But what it has enabled is lots of new stuff that Listen to the Screams can do together. Ike and I together, attending conventions, attending attractions, attending whatever it might be. So it adds a whole possibility of new dimensions for the podcast, and it's exciting. So you want to be sure to follow us to see all this stuff as it unfolds, because I just got a feeling there's going to be lots of new and exciting stuff within our realm in the future. So it's very cool. So, okay, it was a little rambly there. I guess where are we at? We're closing, right?
Yeah.
So sorry about that. But anyway, I'm super excited, right, about all this shit. I'm super excited about you going to Halloween Horror Nights and getting to see. It's so exciting, right? We've said it before. It's such an exciting time to be a horror fan. And I'm super stoked. So it's like every day there's a new announcement of something, right? Some new merchandise or a movie, or it's just such a good time. So, all right, then. I guess we're not leaving Tromaville just yet. I think we're gonna maybe get a room and spend a few nights, because, again, next episode, we are reviewing the reboot movie of The Toxic Avenger that will be out in theaters this week. But until then, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.